You can turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. So you guys are all still thinking about that Super Bowl thing, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Gospel of Matthew. Get in here, stop being. She's going, he's going to start preaching now. Oh, hi. She goes, oh, wait, maybe he's preaching. Let's stay, Mom. All right. No, I don't know. I don't know. She's going, where's Hated? No, that's not it. All right, Matthew. Sorry. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 30. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. Bible says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. I hope you know what repent means this morning. He says, woe to you, Chorazin, which was a city. Woe to you, Bethsaida, which is another city. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which were Gentile cities off in the north, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it's going to be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, I tell you it would remain to this day. But I tell you that it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. That's a bad thing. At that time, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Anybody feel loaded down today? Hallelujah. We got some tired people here today. I'm going to talk loud, try and keep you awake. Come to me, you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, I thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome. Lord, I thank you that you come near us this morning. Lord, you pass by City Heights this morning, Lord, that you look for the weary and the heavy laden. And as you saw these hands come up, Lord, we have got some weary and heavy laden this morning, Lord. I'm praying, Lord, that you would come near, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, that we would know that you are indeed closer than a brother. Lord, and that you would rescue us, Lord, from all that surrounds us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
It was July of 1979, and I had just turned the tender age of 18 by about 2 weeks. And I, in my great wisdom, decided that I would go out bar hopping. And proceeded to drink too much, proceeded to steal a truck, proceeded to wreck that truck and to come resting upon the railroad tracks where I was nearly killed by a freight train at 3 o'clock in the morning. The next day, the Fresno Bee featured my story on the front page. Robert Keith Metz, arrested for felony drunk driving and auto theft, pulled from the wrecked truck he was in 60 seconds before a freight train demolished the truck at 3 a.m. this morning. All the AM stations, I don't know, some of you, I mean, some people know what an AM station is. Every 15 minutes, Robert Keith Metz, arrested last night. Felony drunk driving, an auto theft. Miraculously pulled from his truck 60 seconds before it was struck by a passing freight train. Not the best day I've ever had. Can you imagine? I was loaded down with guilt for what I had done the previous night, even though it was all hazy and I could not remember. I was loaded down with worry for the pending legal actions that were headed my way. And indeed, I felt surrounded. Can you imagine? Now, perhaps you don't have to wreck a truck or steal a truck or even get run over by a freight train to be weighed down by guilt. See, you could be weighed down by guilt today with memories of a past affair or perhaps a current affair, or maybe you could be weighted down with guilt for what you had for dinner last night or where you went last night or what you bought last week. And maybe worry consumes you of how you're going to pay for what you bought last week. Can I get a witness on that? How am I going to pay my will? Oh, my. Or maybe what's going to happen to my children? I'm worried about my son. Perhaps he, too, is a Rams fan. Or maybe you're worried because your daughter is a Raiders fan. I don't know. But we can be loaded down with guilt and with worry. Some of us come in here this morning loaded down with the weight of 2018. That's why we're in this series, Lightening the Load, because come in here this morning looking to make a change so that 2019 will be better than 2018. Can I get a witness on that part? We get loaded down because of the choices that we make. The choices that we make, sometimes not wise choices, we are dragging around the pain of our poor choices. Yeah? And the more choices we make, the heavier that load gets, and we start walking around, we look behind us, and all we see is pain. And we look ahead, and all we see is a continuation of that pain coming down the road at us. Amen? And we feel surrounded with no way to get out. Well, today we're going to talk about how you can get out of that cycle of guilt and that cycle of worry. That sound good? Anybody glad they came today? You see, Jesus came and said, come to me if you are tired of dragging around all that pain. He said, if you are weary of looking into your future and just seeing more of it coming your way. Because he says, I will deliver you from that and I'll put on you my yoke that is easy. And my burden that is light. Title of today's message is Surrounded. And we're going to talk about how to make a change today. Amen? We're actually going to spend our time in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 looking at a man named Zacchaeus. And we're going to take a look. It's only 10 verses, but we're going to take a look and see what Luke tells us about Zacchaeus. Bible says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now, this tax collector, he was not just a tax collector, and a tax collector would use the power and the authority of Rome to come to you and to collect taxes from you. He might say, Lori, you owe me this much. Rocky, you owe me this much. And it was a commission job. And so what he would do is say, Anthony, I see you got that ring for that 300 game on your hand. It looks like an expensive ring. So you got to give me this much taxes for the ring, and I'm going to add in so much for me. Now, he was cheap. He was cheating all the people that were around him, that loved him, that knew him. And not only was he a cheat, he was a boss cheat. He was a chief tax collector. That means he had a crew that was running around. And not only was he a boss cheat, not only was he just a cheat in his life and despised by those around him, he was a good cheat because he was wealthy. And nobody liked Zacchaeus. He was despised. Luke writes about that in chapter 5, verse 30. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to Jesus, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And if you notice that sinners, all kinds of sinners, they were just kind of bundled up into a package. But tax collectors, they had their own recognition. And they were hated and they were despised. You might think of a drug dealer. You might think, "Oh, drug dealer." Or you might think of a wife beater. Or you might think of a child molester. Despised. Sinners. You wonder what's a sinner to do? Because sometimes even a tax collector wants to get right. Now, drug dealers and wife beaters and child molesters, they're going to try to conceal what they do. But a tax collector is right out there in the open. Steal from you right to your face. Hated. What are you going to do if you want to get right? See, society had closed their doors on tax collectors. Zacchaeus looked back at his life. And he saw a trail of destruction. And he looked forward, and all he saw was more. And he was feeling surrounded. He felt like that baby in there crying. Surrounded. Let's keep reading. Verses 3 and 4, Bible says, Luke writes, he wanted to see who Jesus was. That's a good idea if you're surrounded by guilt and worry. Amen? He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short. Is that a short person, Lemon? Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore fig tree. I looked at a picture of a sycamore fig tree. It's a good climbing tree. Climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. See, Zacchaeus is looking for a change. And I started thinking, what would be driving Zacchaeus to want to see Jesus so much? And I think maybe one of the things that was going on in Zacchaeus was guilt. And I looked at the definition of guilt. Guilt is the feeling of anxiety or unhappiness that you have done something immoral or wrong. Our guilt, God gives us an awareness of our guilt to correct future mistakes. Anybody made mistakes? Anybody felt guilty before? Oh, I feel bad, right? And you feel that guilt, and what it does, it makes you aware. Say, "Oh, I don't want to do that again." But there's some people who just can't get away from those feelings of guilt, and it is like you are weighed down with those emotions with no way to escape. You know what I mean? That guilt comes because we have broken our moral standards. Guilt is always focused on something that we have done in the past. We are loaded down with the choices that we have made. They are like a weight that is on our back. We have violated our moral standards, our ethical standards. Now, the world has a solution. And what the world would tell you is that there are no standards. and that you don't have to worry about your guilt because you really don't have anything to be guilty about. Have you heard that before? There are no standards. But see, the Lord gives us a conscience. And it is a barometer of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And when we break that conscience, we feel guilty. Now, when our conscience is not enough, the Bible says that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to convict us of our sin. And it kind of ratchets up our conscience level, makes us more aware. But sometimes we, or you might know somebody around you, and their conscience just isn't getting it done. You know what I'm talking about? People just living in sin. And when that happens, and your conscience does not rein back on your behavior, the Bible tells us that the Lord turns us over to our sin and turns us over to the consequences of our sin, because those consequences can often lead to a change. Amen? I found the consequences in my life led me to change. I looked back at my life and I saw pain and I thought, I don't want to have that coming at me in the future. Now, I want to describe to you pain. And I remember when my children were young, like this tall, and they were cute. And my daughter, she's still cute. My son is too big to be really cute, but he was cute. And my wife, or I, had come up with the fabulous idea of rollerblading. Remember rollerblades? I think the world has gained wisdom, because I don't see anybody on rollerblades anymore. But I had not gained wisdom, and my children were so cute. They had their rollerblades on and helmets on and elbow pads and knee pads and they were like one big giant pad. I think their mom must have got them the pads because they were padded up. Well, I got me some rollerblades, too, because I'm going to show them. What's that, Ed? And I didn't need no pads. Didn't need no helmet. And but, you know, I was looking good. Had my rollerblades on. And now some of you have been to my house, church house, and it's on a hill. It didn't really matter. I just share that with you, but because I was on those rollerblades and I was standing, I was looking good, and I don't know, maybe 60 seconds, could have been 45, and then I was airborne. I went from standing still to airborne. And, you know, it was kind of, yeah, airborne. But then I fell on my tailbone. And, you know, I talk about being surrounded by pain of your past and the pain of the future. That's what it felt like, because I was surrounded by pain. Some of you come in here this morning, and that's how you've been living. The Lord says, are you weary? Are you tired of that? He says, kick off those rollerblades. That's what I do. I don't need these rollerblades anymore. But he comes in here today. He says, there's some stuff that you can kick out of your life this morning that's causing you a lot of pain. I'll come by, and we can start dealing with that. Amen? All right, let's keep going. All right, we're going to read verses 5 and 6, because Jesus is not just stopping by. not just passing by, but he's making a stop. Verses 5 and 6, when Jesus reached the spot, I mean, Zacchaeus up in a tree, reaches the spot and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must stay at your house today. So immediately he came down and welcomed Jesus gladly. See, Zacchaeus climbed a tree and Zacchaeus gets an opportunity. Now, notice that Jesus is passing by. He's going through Jericho and he looks up and he knows Zacchaeus' name. He knows that Zacchaeus has a house. And I'm thinking he knows all about Zacchaeus. He's got to know that Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And he is still getting ready to go over to his house. You see, Jesus is working the plan of the kingdom. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. That's verse 10. We're going to come to that. Now, he's coming back and he's going to judge. Bible says, Matthew writes, chapter 25, verses 31 and 32, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, everybody say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. And all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. See, and I'm thinking that maybe there is another aspect of Zacchaeus' life that is weighing him down, and that is worry. See, guilt binds us with what is in our past, and worry controls us with what lies in our future. And sometimes we can feel like we are just surrounded by guilt and sin and the pressure of life, and that there is no way to get out. Now the Jews, they had a sacrificial system that you could sacrifice a goat or a sheep or depending on what was going on, various other animals, and you could make atonement for your sin, but not tax collectors. Not other sinners, because they would have priests at the door and say, oh, this is not for you, you tax collector, you sinner. And you'd be caught, surrounded by your sin, with no way to get out until Jesus passes by. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Verses 7 and 8. All the people saw this. Saw what? Saw Jesus going to Zacchaeus. What's up? I mean, Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, to the cross, and people whispering, man, this is the Messiah right here. What's he going to Zacchaeus' house for? Probably had a nice house. A little jealousy coming in. Oh, the people were muttering. But Zacchaeus stands up and says to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give my 300 game win. No, probably not. I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to pay back four times as much. And Leviticus says you got to pay 20%. Massive increase. See, Jesus gives him an opportunity, and Lazarus grabs on tight. And what Lazarus has discovered is something that is better than wealth. Zacchaeus is changing his priorities around. And perhaps the issues that you've got going on from 2018 are an issue of priorities. Can I get a witness on that? See, Jesus comes by and he's grabbing on tight. He says, Lord, right now, I'll give half my wealth to the poor. Chapter 18, Jesus had met a young ruler wanting to go to heaven. What do I got to do to get to heaven? He says, sell all you got and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And that young ruler went away. How'd he go? Sad. Because he had a lot of wealth. But Zacchaeus had a lot of wealth too, but he had no problem giving it up. He gave away half because he had to save some for that four times the penalty part. And instead of being sad, Zacchaeus discovers the peace of the Lord. Amen? Now, the peace of the Lord is not just for tax collectors. We can read about the peace of the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious. Don't be worrying. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what do you get? And the peace of God. See, instead of anxiety, you got peace. Why? Because you got a shift in your priorities. What happens instead of, we get anxiety when we try to control what we can't control. Can I get a witness on that? I wrote that down this morning, and the Holy Spirit said, that's for you. I said, okay, Lord, I'm receiving that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you give up trying to control what only Jesus controls, he puts his yoke on you. And instead of carrying that heavy load of trying to manage the whole world, he says, this is what I want you to manage. This is all you got to worry about. And he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so what happens to your anxiety level? What happens to your worry level? What happens is you begin to look in your future and what you find is Jesus leading the way. Can I get a witness on that? And when Jesus is leading the way, you don't got to worry about nothing. I wrecked another truck when I was 29 years old. It was the day the grand adventure was going to start. I was leaving for Bethany Bible College. And I was so excited. I was leaving that day. And I was going from Sacramento to Scotts Valley. That's about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. And I was pulling in the parking lot at my office to see my partner as we were leaving. He was buying me out, paying my tuition so I could go to Bible college. And I pull into the parking lot. There he is. And I pull in. Crash! Ran right into this four-door Mercury, man. Totally demolished the truck. And I jumped out of that truck. And you know what I was thinking? I must not need that truck. Because as I looked in my future, all I was seeing was Jesus. And I didn't have to worry. Amen? Now, that first year at Bible college, I didn't do much driving. Can I get a witness on that? All right, here we go. All right. Jesus makes a change in the life of Zacchaeus. Verse 9. One verse, Luke 19, 9. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house right here because this man too is a son of Abraham. Now, what Jesus says is, I am your Savior. And what Jesus is saving Zacchaeus from and what Jesus will save you from today is judgment for your sin. Now, Zacchaeus is not going to get a grip on what is going until Jesus is raised from the dead on the third day. Amen? But we can read about it. Paul writes about it to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, talking about Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Many of us come in here this morning weary and heavy laden, surrounded by guilt, surrounded by worry. And Jesus comes in and offers us rest. It is like, oh man, looking back on your life and you just see a bunch of pain. See, Jesus passing by Jericho, and he's passing by City Heights this morning, and he says, you who are weary and loaded down, I got something for you. Apostle John writes about it, chapter 1, verse 9 of his first epistle. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And our sins is like having a bunch of rocks in a backpack. And he says, you confess your sin. And that means that you agree with God. God, I messed up. This is sin. I'm a sinner. And John writes that if you do that, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll take that sin off your load. Got that? Now, it takes a minute. It might take all of 2019 to unload that baggage that you're dragging around. Amen? And some of us, man, we got a bunch of pain back there, and we pull it out, and we bring it up to the Lord. We say, Lord, I got this. It was a big mistake. You know what he says? My son didn't hang on the cross for mistakes. You put that back. Pull it out, and this could be tricky. These are big. You say, oh, Lord, this is a misunderstanding, communication issue. And he says, son, Jesus only hung on the cross for sin. Until you agree with me that what you got in your backpack is sin, I really can't do anything with it. It's just on you. And so we can say, oh, Lord, this was a misunderstanding, but it was my misunderstanding. And Lord, I sinned against you. He says, well, I can deal with that. Apologizing isn't good enough either. Lord, sorry, I really messed up. He says, well, I'm sorry too. But if it's not sin, you don't get cleansed. Say, Lord, it was an accident, my accident, Lord. My sin. Can you forgive me? And he says, yeah. And you get this processed. And you look back and you don't see pain anymore. You look back and all you see is Jesus. Amen? All right, now I got to make sure my sin doesn't fall off on the floor. Verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Good news is that Jesus is passing by today. He's not looking for the found. He's looking for the lost. See, you got to be lost to get found. You got to be sick to be healed. And you got to be a sinner to be saved. Some of you come in here this morning, you are loaded down, and the Holy Spirit is just tapping right on your heart. You're dragging around all this weight, all this pain, all this drama. Jesus comes in here looking for you this morning. He says, you look so tired. You look so weighted down. He comes in here to save you from judgment. Comes in here and makes an offer. He says, you give me your life, and I'll give you mine. You can Give him your past, and he'll give you his future. You do that today, and what happens when you look back? You'll see Jesus. And when you look ahead, you'll see him guiding the way. Lisa, I hope you can hear me, because you need to come on up here. She goes, oh, I'm playing with these babies. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and ever since I started talking, the Lord has been pointing out some of these things that are in your pack. He's saying, you're so tired. You're so weighted down. He says, you look like this girl in this picture, weighted down with all of these choices that you've been making in 2018 and 17, some all the way back to when you were 18 years old or younger. And Jesus is stopping in this morning. And the Holy Spirit says, are you ready to lighten your load? Because I came by to take sin this morning. And if you want me to take some of yours, let's talk about it. I'm only coming to get sin today. No mistakes, no accidents, no misunderstandings. But if you've got some sin that you want to bring to me, let's talk about it. He said, I'll put my yoke on you. It's not heavy. Burden I'll put before you is light. And all along the way, I'll be guiding you. Let me help you this morning. Come to your house. We can hang out. We're going to sing in just a minute. You might want to deal with some weight in your life. Right here is a place to unload. Got to be sin. Got to be sin. Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I've been carrying it around. I've been trying to deny it. Lord, I'm going to own this sin, and I'm going to lay it at your feet, Lord. And I'm praying your cleansing in my life. You make a choice. You can walk out of here, and you can just have it right on your back, or you can come right up here, and you can lay it at the feet of Jesus. You might be here this morning, and you are so weighted down. You are so tired. You have never given the Lord Jesus your life. You are bound in guilt. You are bound with worry. You see Judgment Day coming at you, right? I started talking about Judgment Day. All of a sudden, it's like a searing blade touch your heart. Holy Spirit saying, this is for you. You're here this morning. You're so tired. You're so weighted down. You want to come to the Lord like a small child, like that little girl over there, and say, Dad, I'm so messed up. Dad, I'm so messed up. Lord, I'm trapped. I'm surrounded. I don't know how to get out of my life. I look back and I just see the pain and destruction that I've lived for so many years. But Lord, when I look forward in my life, I want to see you. Lord, I'm going to give you my life this morning, Lord, and I want to take on your life. Nobody looking around, pray with me this morning. That's you this morning. That's you this morning. You want to surrender your life to the Lord, and you want to receive his new life in you. I want you to just slide your hand up. See, that's me this morning. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to live like this anymore. You're here this morning. Say, right here this morning, Lord, I want to give you my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, speaking to you, say, I'm going to give you my life. Right back here. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing. You got some weight that you've been carrying around, and you want to come up here and lay it at the feet of the Lord. I encourage you to come up here this morning and just say, Lord, this is my sin. Yes, Lord. I want to leave it here. I don't want to be burdened by it anymore. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. And you can be transformed. Let's all stand. Don't leave here weighted down. The Lord will meet you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's sing.
And I hope it's appropriate to add, though, not just if you're just giving your life to Christ, because sometimes we Christians get loaded down with some strongholds. Oh,
the whole last part, for people that know the Lord, but you just got something back there. He's been saying, "This is you need to confess this." You might have been walking with the Lord 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And you're walking around with a pack full of weight. Church is full of people dragging around their sin. And the Lord says, confess that and we can be done with it and you can move on. There might be more. There could be some stuff that is going on in your life. There's a packing, and you're going to get home and you're going to find a bunch of little rocks that you didn't even feel because the other ones were so big. You get rid of them and there'll be sand. You pour it out and say, Lord, oh, this is just the remnants of the sin in my life. Jesus says, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You look back and you're not going to see any pain. You're going to see Jesus. And you look forward and you're going to see Jesus saying, come on this way.